Welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. To my extreme left over there, Brady Gaster, just arrived back from India. We'll have to talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And in between us here, Yusuf from the ASP.NET Web API team, correct?
Yep.
And you're going to take us through a demo of a little bit of OData querying with Web API today. Cool. That's really exciting. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, Brady's going to introduce our new segment, which is Webcams on Location. Mm-hmm. We introduced this a couple weeks back. We had a couple of editing snafus last week, so unfortunately we missed out. But we're looking to get raring and revving back through that this week. So do you want to introduce our segment?
Yep. I'm really happy to announce that today we're actually going to be interviewing none other than Scott Hunter on the On Location shoot. And we have no idea what he's going to talk about because he keeps talking about how it's a big secret. So we're going to go real quickly and talk to him because it's killing us what it's about. So we'll check back here in a minute.
And now let's go on location.
Heading in to talk to Scott Hunter. Oh no. Hopefully we don't get denied. Let's see what we get. It seems like we have access.
Great. I was actually worried that we might have actually had to answer some sort of skill testing question, like what is the average wingspan of a swallow, which I wouldn't have been able to answer. So I'm glad that you let me in right away.
Well, actually, how many lines of code are in ASP.NET?
Oh, geez. Well, it is open source now, so I guess we could go out and check
that
out.
Only parts of it.
Only parts of it. Okay.
The system web is not open source yet. So.
Very true. Very true. Cool.
We'd like to get there, but
baby steps.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Excellent. Cool. So. Just dropping in to see if there's anything that you might be able to show us about maybe future releases of ASP.NET that you're allowed to talk about. But essentially, we're doing these segments called Webcams on our Webcams TV on Location, and we're just randomly dropping in offices around here. So maybe you've heard we were down at Syed and Mads's office not too long ago. Did a little thing down there, so we decided to bug you today.
I saw the video, so I have seen the video, so I didn't see you in there, but I saw the video. Yeah, come on in.
Cool.
I can talk about something we're working on right now.
Yeah.
What I've got here is, this is Visual Studio today, and one of the experiences that we don't think is very good if you're a developer is you come in here and you say, file, new project, and then you get to choose, do you want an empty web application, a web forms application, MVC 3, 4, dynamic data, Ajax, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 options. So let's say I then choose one of these options. Well, magically, I'm going to then ask you for another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And I bet you most of the folks that are watching this video have no idea what the difference between an empty, a basic, an internet, or an intranet application are.
Okay.
So you can see we've got a ton of ways of creating a project. If I create a API project, can I then add MVC to it? Can you mix and match all these things? It's like, I think as a developer, you come into the tool and you go...
From a dialogue perspective, it doesn't really look like you can, but in actual fact, I'm guessing...
It depends. The answer can be yes or no.
Cool.
Let's say you took an empty web application and you add an API to it. You can add an API to it, but our scaffolding support won't be enabled.
Okay.
Scaffolding support's only enabled if you create a brand new API project or an MVC project. So, and that's because some of those projects, we put a GUID in your project file, and that GUID is what enables the templating. I mean, the scaffolding and some of the feature work.
Yeah.
And so, it's just a bad experience. And so what we're looking at doing, we've been going around talking about this for, I don't know, the last 6 to 8 months. Scott Hanselman and myself and a bunch of other people have been coining a term called One ASP.NET, and that's basically trying to fix that mess I just showed you. And so the idea is, this is what File New Project would look like in the future. Note there's only one option there, that's an ASP.NET web application.
Cool.
Once I get to the ASP.NET web application, you'll note here that nothing here says MVC or API or anything like that. We do have some specialty templates. We have a spa template, we have a Facebook template, we have an empty template.
And for those not familiar with SPA, single page application?
Single page application. So if you go to Hotmail or Gmail or any of these, I would say any web application that looks or feels kind of like a desktop application, it doesn't, every time you click something, the URL doesn't change and the screen doesn't redraw.
Very Ajax-y.
Very Ajax-y.
Yeah.
Very hard to write as well. But the idea is, we've already reduced the number of options. And then what would happen is you would kind of go through a wizard. On the next step of the wizard, we would ask you a couple more questions. Some of these would be filled in automatically based on what you selected on the previous one. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say I want to have a web form application and I want jQuery and jQuery UI and basic recommended packages to be installed and configured properly for me. I can choose, I want a basic template. Let's say I want what we call a full sample application. That means something that might have login and stuff like that. There's a drop down here where I can select that and the technology that I want it in. And then today for MVC projects, we let you enable unit test support. For some reason, we don't let you do that for any other type of project. So once again, we're doing unit test support across the board.
So, and you also mentioned that you'd be able to change the authentication type. Would Correct. You be able to change the unit test provider as well? Like, are you going to enable, obviously there's the Microsoft test, MS test, but things like NUnit, XUnit, like the whole XUnit family kind of thing?
Yes, the hope would be that if you have one of these things installed in your machine, we can actually enable it for you automatically somehow.
Cool.
We're planning to figure it out.
There's magic in the air.
but our goal is not to make it just do MS test.
Yeah.
We want to be richer than that.
Great.
Same kind of thing for, actually, check this out right here. Test framework, drop down list.
Excellent. So it starts with MS test out of the box, but there's possibilities for more.
You can drop down.
Excellent.
The MVC dialog today lets you do this as well. So yep. it's not tied to one particular one. There's a source code button here. This might let you enable things like Git or online TFS, whatever you want. So you can choose that. Let me actually go through a couple things. Then you ask the identity question.
Mm-hmm.
Notice this nice big blank dialog box here. But the plan is, I've got a separate deck that we talk about this, but the idea would be we would in this dialog box have entries like no authentication. Mm-hmm. I want Windows authentication. And then we have two new terms that we're using. We have, if you build an MVC project today or an ASP.NET project today, we give you OAuth support with login and stuff like that.
Yep.
The new term we're kind of coining for that is we call those individual accounts. And we use the term individual in that you own the database and the store. It's all your own stuff and you can maintain those. And so there'll be an option here called individual. If you select that, you'll be able to choose your database type and stuff like that. And we'll, your OAuth providers, you want Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft, you put them all in there.
Cool.
Then something we don't do today, which is, this is, once again, I'm talking about bad experiences. Let's say you're using Active Directory and you want to do add support for Active Directory, full rich support into your ASP.NET application. Well, today what you would do is you would go, I never was asked anything about Active Directory, so I'll go out and search on the internet. I'll find the WIF tools, Windows Identity Foundation tools. Then you'll install those and you'll run those on your project. Well, it seems crazy that we ship Azure Active Directory or Active Directory, and then you have to go download tools externally and run them after you've created a project, and they may or may not work depending on which project you chose.
Yeah. So, with .NET 4.5 coming out, we've included a lot of the WIF namespaces. So you have system.identities in there, but then there's a whole set of tooling on top of that, which is that external download.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that tooling is not something you would easily go find. But the idea then is you have individual, and we have a term called organizational. Organizational means that we think that you've got some account store that your organization has, and that's where all the Active Directory type stuff would show up.
Great.
But the plan is, as you go and build your project, we ask you all those questions, and so you don't have to. This also allows us to remove some of the other templates we had. We had basic and intranet.
Yep.
The difference between some of those was just what authentication was in them. And then the next thing we want to do is we added this great feature, a couple versions ago called NuGet. And, I'm going to guess that most people that are watching this video probably know about NuGet because they're actually browsing around our websites and seeing stuff.
We talk about it quite a bit on the show, so hopefully if they're watching this video, they're already well informed.
But there's still a lot of customers that don't know it's there. I mean, once again, Visual Studio is this huge tool. Unless you right-click on your project and find Manage NuGet Packages, what if you never see that?
Yep.
And so as part of creating a new project, we actually want to expose NuGet to you right away. And the idea would be we would have a couple of options here. One of those would be, we would give you a list of like recommended packages for people building ASP.NET and web tools projects. So if you're using VWD and ASP.NET together, here's a bunch of common packages that we think might be important to you.
Just to expand on VWD, Visual Web Developer?
Visual Web Developer.
Okay, great.
That term probably doesn't leave the building either.
Probably not. That's why I wanted to make sure it was out there, because there's tons of acronyms that just fly around the hallways in here. So I just want to keep our folks informed.
But, you know, so we let you click a button, and we launch right into the NuGet dialog box and give you that kind of catered feed. Once again, Windows Azure is something that is all dear to our hearts these days, and we want to have a button you can press in the dialog box that would take you to NuGet and just show you a list of all the packages that work with Azure.
Great.
So if you're an Azure developer, here's the easiest way to go find some of those components. And then we might even just, some of the feedback that I get from customers when I go and speak at trade shows and stuff is, you know, NuGet's great, but my corporation has lots of policies saying what we're allowed to use. You know, we're only allowed to use like Microsoft created stuff, and so we hope to have a button where we can actually go and open NuGet and show you stuff that's official Microsoft stuff.
So there'll be like some sort of filtering option where you can say, this is the minbar that my company would like us to agree to, or are we just going to filter it to
Microsoft
specific?
We're just going to filter, but we'll make sure that however we filter, we'll make sure that you couldn't upload a package and tag it in a way that it would show up in our filter.
Okay.
So it might be some like magic keyword or something that only we can apply to the database.
Great.
But something that lets people that have to live in the Microsoft only ecosystem be able to do that.
Cool.
So, but this is, you know. One more idea that we're kind of throwing around, which it's not in the deck yet, is, you know, we talked about Windows Azure being dear to our hearts. We might even have a publishing tab in here as well. So as part of creating a new project, we could actually then let you know that Azure exists. If you have an account, you can sign in there, and we'll actually put your credentials right in your project. And you're already set up to go publish. If not, we might have a button that'll take you where you can go and
go download publish settings file.
Yeah, you know, a link to go create your Azure account. I mean, you know, Azure accounts, you get free websites with Azure, so why not, you know, we can just tell you right here, hey, go get 12, I don't know what number
it's
it
10.
Is.
It's
10. 10,
yep.
10 free websites, sign up right here, put your credentials in, and then your project's ready to publish, and you can play with your first 10 websites. So that's kind of what we're throwing around with right now.
The number thing's a funny thing, because there's actually a really unique nuance as to how many free websites you get. I'm not going to tell anyone about it. I'm just going to encourage them to go to the Windows Azure homepage and find it out for themselves. But they'll be pleasantly surprised as to how many free sites you can actually get with Windows Azure.
I thought you just said it was 10.
Yes. But
you're
there's
saying,
an interesting
there's
story.
There's more to it than just...
Yes. It's like the Transformers. There's more than meets the eye.
Is it something somebody can actually find? If they went to the website, would they actually be able to find this?
Yes. You have to read through the text, but it is something that you will find, and it's a very interesting and unique thing once you do discover it.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's a little call to action there for our viewers, is to go out and scour through and figure out how many free websites you can actually get on Windows Azure.
As soon as you quit recording, I'm gonna go check it out. I'm curious now.
Awesome. Well, is this everything that you have to show us? Do you have any other comments that you'd like to?
This is what I'm working on right now. Not just me, but the whole team is trying to get this experience figured out. And so once we get the experience figured out, the next step is we give it to the dev team and see, you know, how much of the experience they can actually code into the next milestone they're working for. So
excellent.
But hopefully this stuff will show up sometime later this year.
Cool. And it'll be in some sort of CTP format, and people will get early bits, or is it something that we're just going to go in spring and launch on people?
I can't say how it's going to, you know, make it out. But I mean, the reality is, if you know, if you follow our team, you know, we ship stuff every 6 months. So on one of our ship cycles, this stuff will have hopefully show up. We also align to other teams as well. And so if, you know, right now there's a Visual Studio update coming out. We're working on Visual Studio Update 2, I think.
Yep.
Could be part of one of those, could be part of our release. We just have to figure out where the right vehicle lines up and what Microsoft products are shipping, and that'll determine when and how it shows up. So I can't guess.
Yep. No, that's fine. I'm just trying to tow some information out. No, I'm kidding. It's one of those things where I know developers love to get their hands on things nice and early, so I figured if there's anything that you could comment on, that we'd try and get a little bit of information for them. But thanks so much for showing us what you're working on right now. Yeah. It's really exciting to be able to get in, get a little bit of an early vision as to what's going on. So thanks again.
Thank you.
And now, our feature presentation.
Awesome. Thanks, Brady. Yousef, do you want to tell us a little bit about OData and what this querying aspect is really going to enable people to do with their web API code?
Sure. So in the next update of ASP.NET, we're going to be adding support for OData and web API. And OData does several things for you. First off, it gives you a standard way of exposing your data and metadata. But it also lets you do other things that people commonly want to do, that developers want to do. And today I'm going to talk about OData querying, which is a query language that basically lets you change your query string in a way to tell the server what kind of information you want to get back.
So you're just providing some query string parameters to kind of filter out data from a giant set?
Filtering, sorting, getting the first ones or the last ones, that sort of thing, yeah.
Nice. Cool.
And if you guys don't know about OData, you can go to odata.org, and it's actually something that Microsoft's been iterating over. I can't remember what version we're in now, but it's getting crazy. It's version 3.
Yeah.
And it's actually out to become a data standard right now. So they're going through the process with OASIS and trying to make it actually a standardized format for doing querying over HTTP.
Yeah.
Cool. And it looks like you have a new class here that you're inheriting from. I don't think I've seen the...
Yeah, so this is actually a new OData class that... If we look at the definition, it actually derives from OData Controller, which itself derives from API Controller.
Cool.
API Controller is the controller class you're familiar with when you're using OAPI that you derive directly from. And this is just a helper controller that turns on OData and also gives you some convenient methods that you can override to enable some functionality.
Cool.
I love syntactic sugar.
I love new stuff. New stuff is good.
Yeah. All right, so we've got a class here. It's a controller. All it's got is this get method, and it's basically returning an empty set from empty framework. And what that looks like, we have a web page that takes that information, and this is the data set we're dealing with, basically. This is a pretty big data set. It's got, I think, 3,000 movies or so. Oh. And you've got some basic information about the movies. It's got the title, the genre, the release year, the rating, popularity. But this data set is not very interesting yet, right? It's just a bunch of movies. You can't really do much with it. So how about we actually do something with it?
Cool.
What we're going to do, we're going to go back to our controller, and all we're going to do really is just say that this data set is now queryable. We're going to run it.
So what is that attribute kind of doing in the background? Is it just hooking up a little bit of OData magic? Is there lots of stuff going on there? Is it a very loose kind of... is a very loose attribute that's just saying, we need OData functionality, here's how to parse the requests that are coming through this controller.
So what it's going to do is, it's going to run some code after you return from your action. You return an iQueryable, and the query is going to parse the query string and basically create an expression based off that that's going to run on the iQueryable to get the results that you actually want.
Nice.
So let's have an example here. So Oscar season is coming up, so you might want to figure out, well, what movies are up for nominations and awards. So first of all, you might want to filter just by the movies that were released last year, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't care about all the other movies. So what we're going to do is that we're going to write this little expression here. We're going to do $filter equals release year. And we're going to say the release year is 2012. So now we're going to run this.
So that was a dollar sign filter?
Yes.
Do we have any like really neat, nuanced kind of ways to say that yet?
I thought he said dog filter.
I thought he said dog filter, and that's what made me kind of think of it.
I'm just going to go with that.
Because there's a blog post we should put in the show notes. It's absolutely hilarious, and there was a huge thread on Stack Overflow that mm-hmm. discussed terms that people use within their own little teams that describe things. So there's one like banana, 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 and that's a doc block at the top of your code where you're not quite sure what the method's going to do yet, so you just put the placeholder there and provide it through. But there's tons of little interesting fun things like that. I thought we'd link off to that in the show. That'd be fun.
Fascinating.
Cool. So what did this return for us?
So this returned all the movies that were released in 2012 that we've got in our database. So you can find movies here like Madagascar 3, apparently the Avengers were released in 2012. So that works fine. You've got a bunch of movies. But let's filter it a little more. We just want the good movies, right, from last year. So because the bad movies obviously aren't going to get Oscar nominations. So we're also going to say and the rating is greater or equal to 9. Seems fair enough. So now we got all these movies. And these are apparently the best movies of 2012. You got Life of Pi, which actually did get a bunch of nominations right there. Mm-hmm. But there's other things you can do also with filtering. So you can also run functions. So here what I'm going to do is say I saw this movie recently, and it ends with the word Trek. And I want to figure out what movie that was, because I don't remember what movie it was. So I'm just going to say a title ends with Trek. And we're going to run it. And you just get Star Trek here. So now you know what movie you were actually thinking of.
So you've just done a search for a movie here, and you've searched in a field that is specific to a movie, like title.
Yes.
Like the title of the movie. Let's say, in addition to my movie domain object, I had another domain object called actor. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to search a movie, like let's say I want to see all the movies that Scarlett Johansson was in 2011, I can obviously search by date, which you've already shown us how to do.
Yeah.
Could I actually query on properties of the actor object for all the actors that are a part of a movie?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The syntax for it is a little different,
okay.
But you can drill into the properties themselves. So you could have a query for all the movies with Scarlett Johansson.
Cool.
Yeah.
Or Bill Murray. To keep with the theme of...
Well, Groundhog Day was just not too long ago, so we can definitely tie into that.
That's true. So that's good to know, though. So people can only... They don't have to query just the properties of their movie object. They
right.
can actually query child objects
They
as
can
well.
Drill in, yeah.
Cool. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that they can also do filtering on the primitive values.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you had just like a bunch of strings and mm-hmm. you want to filter the strings that start with A, you mm-hmm. could do that as well. There's a syntax
nice.
For that.
Nice. Cool. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you did ends with here, we do starts with.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that
that's
enables
good.
A lot of different scenarios. So if you have these really complex objects,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you can just start drilling in and learning more about the movies or whatever domain kind of logic you have just by querying down deeper into each individual
mm-hmm.
object.
That's right. good stuff.
Cool, that's some good guidance.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
cool.
So we can go back now to our Oscar example.
Okay.
So we were looking at movies that were released in 2012 and with a rating that was greater or equal to 9.
Cool.
So we can run this again.
One thing to note here is you're using things like GE to say greater or equal.
Yeah.
All that stuff's documented on odata.org.
Yeah.
But is there like a quick filter kind of thing in Visual Studio where you can see that? Or if I wasn't really familiar with OData in the first place, where would be a good place for me as an ASP.NET web API developer to figure out those kind of nuanced little things?
Going to the OData spec and looking for documentation online.
Cool. No, that's perfect. odata.org it is.
Yeah. And what's the tool that I've used in the past? It's a community-provided tool. LinkPad?
Yeah, LinkPad does a lot of great things with OData and just link expressions in general.
Cool.
So, yeah, if you want to dig in and have a really lightweight tool, LinkPad's definitely a great place to go.
So you could actually use LinkPad to test your queries against your OData backend that's running Web API. That'd be fun.
So now we've got a bunch of movies, and maybe there's some movies here that maybe just aren't very popular at all. Like I've never heard of this movie, The Master here, for example. So let's sort our results by how popular they are. So the way you do this in OData is you add this new query string parameter, which is dollar order by popularity. So it's going to get run, and you see it's actually sorting them by popularity. You've got the ones with the lowest popularity on top and the ones with the high popularity on the bottom.
Hmm.
But let's say we want to inverse that, because we actually want the most popular ones. You would just add this, which just says popularity descending.
Cool.
You run again, and now you've got the most popular ones on top. And here you can already start seeing there's some pretty popular movies there that have good ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So next, the only query options we're missing so far that we haven't shown support for are top and skip, and these are the equivalent of basically take and skip, if you're familiar with link.
Mm-hmm.
Top just takes the first 5, for example. So here we're going to add top equals 5.
Well, it's just like doing a top expression in SQL, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can say select top 5 from, it's doing the exact same thing.
And so here you've only got the top 5 from our expression. And you can also do a skip. So if you want to skip The Hobbit for some reason, you don't like The Hobbit, You could do dollar skip equals one. And you've got the results without the Hobbit.
The Hobbit actually is something that kind of makes me a little bit sad, because I was actually in Wellington for the world premiere and had to leave before I could even stand in line. So, yeah, we're going to have to filter that out.
Okay. All right. So the next thing I want to show is paging. And this is something that a lot of developers want to do in general. You want a page that a web page that can support multiple pages of information. If you saw the movies collection earlier, you had thousands and thousands of movies. You don't want to display all of them to the user. You want to display maybe 20 of them and then give them a way to get to the rest of them. So the way we're going to do this in WebAPI, there's two ways of doing paging in general. You can either have the client decide how big the page size is and ask for like the top 20, and the server is going to send back 20 and then ask for the next 20 and so on and so forth. But there's another way of doing this in WebAPI with Dota's support, and I'll show that right now. So let me just get rid of this part right
here. So I guess the quote-unquote poor man's version would be combine top and skip, and just kind of work through that manually on the client side.
Yeah.
But then this rich feature that is built in to WebAPI is going to avoid all that and handle it for you.
I definitely like that approach better.
Yeah. So what this is going to do is it's actually going to implement the paging on the server side. So it's server-driven paging instead of client-driven paging. So what's going to happen is the client is going to request a feed, and the server is going to send back, say, 10 or 20, and then give it a way to access the next page of results. And we're going to see this in action right now.
Cool.
So I'm going to add a page size right now of 10. We're going to rebuild our application. And that was the wrong thing to press. And so now we're going to run this query again. But instead of having all the results, now you've actually got pages. We've got this next page button that's lit up.
So if we hover over that button, will we actually, it doesn't actually have the URL. But under the covers there, is it actually appending the top skip to it for you manually?
Yeah, so here's, I'll show you
what's... Or is it maintaining that state out there?
What's happening here.
Okay.
We're going to press this button, and you're going to see that now we've actually got a skip.
Oh, cool.
This is the page we're on, because we were sent a next page link. Now we know what next page link to follow.
Nice.
So you can go back and forth. You can also change. So let's say now I've changed my mind on server. I actually want pages of size 5. I'm going to rerun this application with the same query. And now you've actually have 5 results per page.
Nice.
Just with one line, basically, one small change.
Is there a way to pull that out into configuration, or is it something that you always need to provide in an attribute?
Right now it's in the attribute, but you could potentially write an extension to put it in the configuration if you wanted to.
You could inherit from the attribute.
Yeah.
So now this is a pretty cool paging app, but one thing that people want to do in general is also have the number of pages, right? You don't want to have a next page button and previous page button. You also want to be able to say how many pages are there. And OAPI has support for that too. There's something called inline count. So if you, this is part of the OAPI spec, if you do inline count equals all pages, I'll just spell that correctly, now the server is actually going to send back the count of the total number of entities that match your query.
Mm-hmm.
So if I run this, you actually get, now there's 5 pages, so you know how many pages there are.
But you have to ask for that. You have to know to ask for that?
Yeah, you have to ask for that.
Okay.
And if we actually look at the request that we sent, the response, you'll see that we send back a bunch of movies, but we also send back the number of movies that match your query, 23. So that allows us to compute a number of pages based off that. And we also send the next page link, which we were talking about earlier. So the client knows what next page link to use for the next page of results.
Cool. So I see that it's JSON formatted, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Is that the default, or is it still default to Atom Pub, or what's the default?
So the default is JSON.
Okay.
There's 3 different formats we support in WebAPI OData. There's OData Atom XML, which is just Atom-based XML. And there's a verbose kind of JSON. There's a new flavor of JSON that's defined in version 3 of OData, and all those are supported.
Nice.
The cool thing, too, about Queryable, what you just saw, is that This doesn't have to be an OATA service. In this case, it just happens to be an OATA service. Mm-hmm. But it could also be a regular API service that you can just go and add queryable in your action, and it'll actually work just as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That returns vanilla JSON and vanilla XML. You don't have to. You can only use. You can use just the OATA query syntax if you'd like to.
Nice.
Great.
All right. So the next thing I'm going to show. So this is obviously pretty powerful. But whenever you have something that's pretty powerful like this, it's also potentially a security problem. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might want to actually limit the number of things you can do with this. So let's say, for example, I know I'm only going to be ordering by popularity, and I don't want to order by anything else. Or let's say, for example, that my database ordering by popularity is actually really slow, and I only want to be able to order by the ID. What you do is we've got some things you can add here. So you can say, for example, allowed order by properties, and you can say I can only order by ID. So what's going to happen now, if you actually tried to order by the popularity, you actually get an error here.
Oh, wow.
But if you look at the HTTP request, in the response, it'll actually say order by popularity is not allowed. Mm-hmm. So you can actually have a subset of the query syntax that matches exactly what you want out of it. Order them by whatever properties you want, whatever logical operators you want, whatever functions you want, and so on.
Nice. Okay.
Is there any way to avoid an error? Because you have this, you have a big site, you don't really want to display a lot of errors. You just want to default over to ID if they were to pass in
popularity.
Popularity. Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. I had all of the P's going through my head, like probability and stuff like that. Is there any way to avoid that error message and just say, well, we only wanted ID, or we'll just send back the results in ID, and we just kind of...
All right, so the way you do that is we've got this property called query options that you can apply to the entities. And then we just want to cast it as an unqueryable of movie here. And then we're going to return the queryable attribute. We're going to remove it.
Because that's essentially doing the exact same thing as what the attribute
right.
is.
Right. Nice. So now we're doing it manually in code instead of with a magic attribute. So now we can run the query we had earlier. It'll take a bit of time for database startup. And you've got the same results that you would have had earlier.
Nice.
Just without the paging, because we've removed the page size right there. Mm-hmm. And you can even apply parts of the query if you'd like. You can apply just a filter or just the order by if you'd like, or even change the order by or in the filter before you actually run them.
Cool.
There's a way to do that.
Nice. So that provides a nice flexible way of straight in code, not relying on an attribute if attributes kind of scare you a little bit. You can go and just use the controller itself to handle a lot of this query information.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Really cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. That's awesome. How really early in my webcams career, I had Dan on the show, mm-hmm. and Dan talked about you could return an iQueryable from a web API call. But I think the OData stuff got deprecated from that release. Is this sort of an extra layer on top of that, or am I speaking correctly and it was actually deprecated from the last release
yes,
and now
so
we're adding it in?
Exactly. We deprecated that, and okay. now this is basically reintroducing those same concepts.
Awesome.
Just better fleshed out.
Nice. I love it. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That'll be a lot easier for people that want to use link syntax in their web API calls.
Yeah.
Be really good. I can think of a couple of people right off the top of my head from back east that would probably want to work with this who are really deep in OData. So this would be good stuff for them. That's awesome. Well, thanks a lot for your time today. If you're out there in viewer land and you wanted to use OData with web API, now you'll have that functionality. Any idea other than the word soon on when our viewers can expect this to be out?
In the next few weeks.
Okay, cool. So
yeah,
soon.
We should have
cool.
a final version.
Cool. Awesome. Going through the last rounds of testing and everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. That'll be fun. So you can actually start applying your OData query logic to your web API calls, which would be good stuff, rather than having to do all that manual searching yourself. That's good. Mm-hmm. And I take it that that web page you were showing, you were actually calling web API from jQuery? We're actually using like JavaScript to call back and forth?
So actually I was using a library called DataJS,
oh, okay.
which is a client-side library for OData.
Okay.
And that kind of handles it for you. I can actually show you the JavaScript if you'd like.
I'd love to see it.
So we've got a script here called paging. And it's actually pretty simple stuff. So you've got this odata.read.
Okay.
That's where the call is being made. And we've got three, we're also using knockout.js for the data binding.
Nice.
And we've got three simple things that run. This is what runs when you run the query button. You click the run query button. This is what happens when you hit the previous button. This is what happens when you hit the next button.
Nice.
You've got logic there.
Awesome, awesome. Do you think we could get the sample code to put somewhere?
Yeah, actually, so there's already an early version of this on the ASP.NET CodePlex site as a sample. It's actually for books, not for movies.
Okay.
But we're going to update it for RTM and make it for movies.
Nice. That's good.
For in the near future.
That'll be good. That'll be good. Yeah. So it's already on ASP.NET WAC vNext probably, or web-API.
It's already there on ASP.NET CodePlex.
Okay.
But it's based off the RC bits that we had.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Good to know.
We'll make sure that we get the exact URL in the show notes below. So if you're taking a look or want to browse through the code, just a little bit further down the screen there, you'll find links off to where things are sitting in CodePlex.
Good stuff.
So if I would, the last question I have is, where would I actually go out and find that data.js? Would it be on the odata.org site, or how did you get access to that to make it easier to do these nice client-side looking?
So I actually just got it as a NuGet package. If you look at my packages.config file here, you've got data.js is the number one thing I've got. So you just install NuGet, you download the NuGet package, and it's really simple.
And it's a great way to keep the dependency up to date as it iterates and goes through all of its...
Yep. Good stuff.
Great, that's good.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Will data.js be included in whenever the release goes out? Will that be one of the things that gets pulled down?
Or do you have to... No, that's separate. So YAPI provides the server-side parts of OData. It doesn't currently have a client-side part to it.
Okay.
But there's plenty of OData clients out there.
Nice.
And one of the great things, since OData is a standard, you can actually use a variety of clients. You can even, Excel, for example, has a way of pulling in an OData feed and just putting it into your table so you can do whatever you want with it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Be fun to do. That'd be a fun Office Apps demo.
Yeah.
Be good stuff.
Yeah,
awesome. Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. And should we tease a little bit about next week's show?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Definitely.
Cool. So next week, we're actually going to go a little bit further down the journey of Web API, and we're going to go to another topic. OData, like querying OData, looks really awesome, looks exciting, but there's so many more features of Web API that, you know, I think it deserves a little bit more of an in-depth venture through. So we'll be bringing you a little bit more Web API love, as Brady would say it.
Good. I'd love Web API. That'll be fun. That'll be good stuff. Do you know what next week's topic is about specific to Web API?
I think we should just get people to come back and see.
I agree.
Yeah.
So you should just come back next week and find out what other treats we have in store for you.
Excellent.
And probably after the on-location shoot today, I'm guessing we'll have some really exciting stuff to talk about next week. So that'd be good.
Because right now it's super secret.
It's super secret.
Cool.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us here on WebCamps TV.
Thanks a lot.